Welcome back to another edition of the SJHL Playoff Preview Show for round two of the 2022 SJHL Playoffs. My name is Rory McGoran, joined once again by the round table, or I guess triangle table. It's Jamie Neugebauer of the Notre Dame Hounds and former member of the Kindersley Clippers making his way back to Weyburn. It's Nick Nielsen. Guys, how are things going?
Going well from my side of things here, just getting ready to get started with some off-season stuff right away. How about you, Nugsy?
Yeah, been good. Enjoying it. Love a little Game 7. Oh, I love a Game 7. And, boy, it was a good game, Alfred Yorkton. We'll talk about it. But, boy, that was fun.
Yeah, best two words in sports, the Game 7. We only got one of them in the opening round of the playoffs, the return, and you know, 2 years wait pretty much for the SJHL playoffs to come back. What were your guys' thoughts on the opening round series? Estevan Bruins take out the Notre Dame Hounds in five. You got the Humboldt Broncos needing six games to defeat the LaRange Ice Wolves. The Flint Flon Bombers six over the Battleford's North Stars. And then the sixth seed, the lowest Yorkton Terriers, that's advancing, defeating the number three seed Melfort Mustangs. That's the most recent game. Took place on Tuesday into a 3-1 victory for the Yorkton Terriers on the road. Me and Nugsy, we talked to Keyshawn Gervais, and he had utmost confidence they were going into the Northern Lights Palace, the captain there, and picking up a win, and he lived up to it. They did.
Well, I'd like to say that if we go back, I actually nailed everyone. I was the only one of the three of us that nailed all of the predictions.
That took 45 seconds. It took 45 seconds for me to bring it up.
Well, and I said there was a deep soul in this Yorkton team in that locker room. There's something about it, and I'm not necessarily saying that they're going to beat Estevan, but there's a soul in there that I think was the difference in Game 7. So, you know, hey, there you go. I guess, someone said an expert picked this or that and texted me about it, and they were meaning me. I don't think I'm an expert, but in this case, maybe it turned out pretty good. Well, it was a lot of fun. What did you think, Nikki?
You know what? It was a lot of fun for sure, and I think we got a lot of things went the way we kind of expected, but we got some surprises along the way, which is what makes it fun. You know, you see Notre Dame get a big win in the first game in double overtime. How exciting is that? Like, the very first night was just absolutely wild. You see LaRange get out to an early lead over Humboldt there, which I know a lot of us were kind of expecting Humboldt would get the win, right, you know, five games or so. And then early in the series, they go down 2-1. Like, that was a big surprise. It was a surprise when Yorkton, I think, got out to a 3-1 lead in that series. I think we kind of all expected that to stay a little bit tighter. And then, of course, it goes to Game 7 anyways, so you get those surprises. And you've got Flin Flon winning four straight over the Battleford's North Stars to finish things off. Like, it just – we saw three series, you know, kind of expected, and we all kind of guessed where they were going to go. And then that Yorkton-Melford series, you know, I remember us talking about how close that was going to be too. And, you know, I think, like I said, we got a lot of surprises, but things still kind of went the way we expected. It was just a lot of fun, straight up.
So what that brews down to is the number one Estevan Bruins are going to take on their division rival in the Viterra division, played eight times in the regular season against the Yorkton Terriers. And the Humboldt Broncos, it'll be a rematch from the 2019-2020, the only round that actually finished before COVID-19 shut everything down, with the Flin Flon Bombers and a rematch from that playoff series. Let's start with 1-6, the Estevan Bruins versus the Yorkton Terriers. Estevan won six out of the eight games in the regular season. But the one thing I will point out is that six out of the eight games in total were decided by one goal. So the Yorkton Terriers have been in almost every game against Estevan this year. What are your guys' thoughts on this opening round or second round series? Pardon me. Number one, Estevan versus number six, Yorkton.
I can start us off on here. I think most of us are kind of expecting Estevan to get the win in the series. You know, you look at the things on paper. They are set up for this. And they had that little bit of a wake up in the first round there where they went in against Notre Dame. They take that overtime loss, and then they go and win four straight. I think that was the head shake they needed, the kick in the pants that they needed to get ahead now. And you look at the way guys are playing, too, for that team. I mean, even they got Oliver Pouliot and Mark Rumsey. That's the worst way to say it. Olivier Pouliot. That sounds a lot better. They, you know, both leading the league in points right now with 10 points for Pouliot and 9 for Rumsey. You got Beloes playing some of the most dialed in goaltending we've seen from him all season long. You know, I just think that Estevan is set up right now, probably in the best position to get through to the final. But that's not to take anything away from Yorkton. They obviously have a real edge to them. I think they're probably the more physical team out of the two. They're, you know, you got guys like Eric Boers on that team who probably has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because, you know, he was supposed to be part of this team, this Estevan Bruins team that was going to make this run towards the Centennial Cup. He was there, one of their guys at the start of the season, and Ben gets moved over to Yorkton now and is leading that team as the captain. He came up with some very clutch goals at the end of that Melfort game there. I think Yorkton's got a better chance at this. I think it's going to be another close series. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes to 7 games. I still think Estevan has the edge when it comes to goaltending and their scoring power up front, but this is going to be a close series, and it's going to be a dogfight. Two teams that are very, very familiar with each other, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, they faced each other, as Rory, you mentioned, there 8 times in the regular season, and if there was a team, and yes, Estevan won 6 of the 8, but a lot of one-goal games, as you said, and you know what? I certainly think Estevan is the favorite. I think everybody would say Estevan is the favorite. The issue that I have and that I wonder is the style of hockey that we're going to expect from this series is going to be one that the Yorkton Terriers had against Melfort. It was heavy. It was experienced guys. You know, it was a tight series, a tough series. The Notre Dame Estevan series, you know, as well as Estevan played, and they played very well for a vast majority of it, and especially Boston Beloes, who had 931 save percentage. That's what you want to see from a guy like Beloes, is that the style of hockey was a little bit open, end-to-end, back-and-forth, penalty play, power play, penalty kill. You know, it wasn't that different from the regular season style of hockey. So, you know, the Yorkton Terriers at least come in a little bit more battle-hardened, we'll say, from these playoffs. But mm-hmm. Jason Tatarnik has got to be happy with the travel, you know, because Wilcox not that crazy far away from Estevan, and Yorkton obviously not that far away from Estevan. So his guys are going to be, you know, raring to go, lots of practice time and rest too. So it'll be interesting to see what type of series it looks like. The only thing that maybe helps Yorkton is the fact that they just had a very, very long, tough series and have that momentum out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, the Yorkton Terriers winning does Jason Tatarnik and the Estevan Bruins a huge favor of not having to drive 9.5 hours up to Flin Flon in a second-round series that may have reshifted into a 2-3-2. Like, we don't know if that's how just cost-feasible it would have been better for both teams to accept that. But when you look at the Yorkton Terriers and the Estevan Bruins, it's number one and number two in terms of penalty minutes on average per game at 24.4 for Yorkton and 23 on the nose for Estevan. They've already played each other 8 times for the season. You know there's a rivalry there. Yorkton has the belief that they can hang with them. So what I kind of are interested to find out is how much this rivalry really does brew if Yorkton can get it stretched out, withstand that early fire that Estevan's going to try to bring on. If they do, get Estevan in a little bit of a panic mode and then try to take over with that physicality you talked about, Nuxie.
Go ahead, Nuxie.
No, just quickly, Rory, I think that's a great point, Rory. Like, this Yorkton team is going to try to get Estevan away from the pretty plays and the tic-tac-toes and the way that they were able to play a lot of times during the regular season against absolutely everybody. But if there's a team in this league that can make a hockey game ugly, it's the Yorkton Terriers. They'll muck it up. They'll gum it up. You know, Tyson Jansen, he keeps things simple. You know, they got guys like Tanner Sklaruk and Parker Jasper on the back end that manage the puck so well, do such a great job. And, you know, Cale DePape is back there. So if there's a team with a game model outside of obviously the other favorites going into this, the humble Broncos, that can really give Estevan some issues, and, you know, I'm sure they still have lots of confidence, it is Yorkton. So it's a great point, Rory.
And kind of circling back for a second there, Nugsy, you were talking a little bit about Yorkton trying to continue that momentum on from that long series going into this one. And I think that's going to be key, especially at the start of this series, because for Yorkton, like, we don't, at the time of this, that we're doing this here, we don't know when the games are going to be exactly. They haven't been put on the schedule yet, to my understanding, at the very least. Maybe you guys know something I don't, but
Friday, Saturday, I believe, would be games 1 and 2. As for when it continues, I don't know.
I would assume that as much, right? But at the same time there, the point I'm getting at here is that Yorkton's going to need to set the tone early. They're going to need to set the tone in that first game, and they're going to need to try and continue on the momentum without tiring out, because obviously you play a big physical series there against Melfort the way they did. That's going to wear down on a guy. And Yorkton's had some injury troubles at different points this year. I know Parker Jasper was out for quite some time with upper body injury. A couple of their defensemen have been out. So, you know, if they can stay healthy and they can continue that physical play, they're going to give themselves the best chance at it, and they need to get that started early. Because Estevan, a very good team, if they start skating circles around you, and they're a physical enough team too, if they get the advantage in that physical game, it's going to be tough for Yorkton to come back. They need to go out and take advantage of that physical domination and physical presence early in that first game, I think, to really set the tone and give themselves the best chance.
I love the point about setting the tone, and I think you just got a star one player on the roster, which is Keyshawn Gervais, and the way he plays his game with his heart on his sleeve and as much emotion as anyone in the league. I'm not taking away anything from the leadership group of Estevan, but we know the experience they come in already with their talent level of major junior players, right? So there's a lot of bodies that can be counted on, or maybe in the dressing room speak up, whereas this is Keyshawn Gervais' team. You know, you got Zach McIntyre, Tyson Jansen, but the motor is Keyshawn Gervais. So setting the tone, you need him taking the lead and everyone else buying into what Matt Hare and Keyshawn are going to try to generate here.
Yeah, it's going to be also, you know, interesting. One of the matchups that I'm so interested to see in this series, you know, you see those like little one-on-one matchups. In the Notre Dame Estevan series, Mitch Kohner for Estevan, the former Prince George Cougar, did a great job of getting Notre Dame to think about him a lot more than I'm sure Brett Pilkington would have hoped. And he did an excellent job, Mitch Kohner did. Keyshawn Gervais for Yorkton does that same thing. Try to think about him, don't think about the game. You know, a little word here or there. And those guys play with a ton of passion. That's what you want to see in the playoffs, right? That emotion. And those guys, you know, play with a ton of emotion. And, you know, this is two teams that play such similar hockey, Estevan and Yorkton. Like, they want to grind you. They want to play big and strong. You know, Eric Pierce is going to be huge for Estevan in this series. You know, maybe a little bit less time and space for Olivier Pouliot and Mark Rumsey. Those guys love the time and space. So it'll be interesting whether the Eric Houts and the Eric Pierces are a little bit more front and center in this series for Estevan, but still that depth for Estevan really does give them an edge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yorkton was actually the one team that advanced that was outscored in their opening round series, 19-21. Melfort Mustangs had more goals, but Yorkton got it done. And a lot of the reason why, Nugsy, you have the numbers is when Cale DePape is winning, he's winning in a big way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I looked it up. When Yorkton beat Melfort, Cale DePape's save percentage was .966 over those four games combined. That's amazing. And when they lost, he was around the .870s. So, you know, that's a huge difference. You know, I always talk about, I'll say it again, if you're going to do an upset, and this would be an upset for Yorkton, no disrespect meant, you need great, great goaltending, period. Number one, end of story. Number two, you need great special teams. And what we saw from Yorkton special teams in the first round was pretty much the same as we saw in the regular season. Outstanding penalty kill and still a power play that was okay. They got a big power play goal in game 7, though. And, you know, still McIntyre one-timer from the top of the left circle can be a difference maker if they can get it off. But, man, the special teams battle is going to be fascinating.
You talked about goaltending and Cale DePape. They're going to have to make his night easier because Estevan didn't make anything easy on the Notre Dame goalie and Austin Elliott. 45 shots a game throughout that series, which is first in the league in the playoffs. And Yorkton is fourth among the remaining four teams at only 33.14. So they're going to have to find a way to get the puck away from Cale DePape, as hard as that is against this talented Estevan Bruins team.
Yeah. A little bit more deeper of a decor, too, for York, than a little bit more options.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, you have Tyson Jansen can play big minutes, and, you know, you say, oh, so can Jared Sitch. But, you know, then there's a Tanner's Fleurook who's been around a long time. You know, that's a big difference for Yorkton to have a Tanner Sklaruk and a Parker Jasper. And they're getting, you know, they're getting Carter Hermann, who's been really, really good as a young kid, you know, as a call-up for this Yorkton team, too. So it'll be very interesting.
All right, prediction time. Nick, who do you got and how many games?
I'm going to go with Estevan in seven. I'm going to give him the full seven.
Yeah, you know what? I think the depth for Estevan is going to be a problem for Yorkton. I'm going to give it I'm going to say Yorkton steals two, but I'm going to go Estevan in six.
Nuxie, you never seem so enthusiastic when you have to make a prediction. It comes to you, and you're just like,
I hate predictions. I hate predictions. But, what I'll say, sorry for interrupting, Rory, is, one coach, I was just joking with him, and I said, you know what? I'm just trying to help you out by fueling your fire. So you can send me a check anytime you want.
great job accomplishing that, I'm sure. I'm with you, Nuxie, though. I think it's going to be six. I think Yorkton can win a couple games. I think it's going to be a lot closer games than maybe people could expect. If you're thinking the Bruins are going to blow them out, I don't think that's at all going to happen. And I'll go a little farther. I think we're tied 2-2 after four games, and then Estevan rattles off game five and six.
Fair enough.
That's the first seed against the sixth seed. Move along now. You got the second seed, Humboldt, and another upset, if you could call it that. Very even matchups between the Flint Flon Bombers and the Battlefords North Stars, but it was the five seed moving on. Flint Flon, four wins in a row, as Nick, you pointed out there, to clear the North Stars in six games. But you're getting as even a battle here between these two teams. If I had my opinion, they split the regular season 2-2. However, they haven't played since December 4th. They were done all their games in the regular season back last year, early December. So a lot of new things happening and just a lot more consistency within both these lineups.
Absolutely. And these two teams, looking at the way things went through the first round of the playoffs too, it is still ridiculously close stats-wise. Both teams have had 17 players with a point so far in this series. For Humboldt, they've had 12 players score a goal. For Flint Flon, it's been 10. There's been 24 goals scored by each team so far through the first round. Five from defense for Humboldt, four from defensemen for Flint Flon. It's been ridiculously close between these two teams that I guess they haven't even played each other still, but it's going to be a lot of fun. There's two things that I really see being a factor in this series. Number one is going to be goaltending, specifically Race Ramsey, and whether or not he's starting to tire out a little bit. He's played 10 more games in Cal Shell at the other end of the ice this season, and Ramsey's been stellar all year long. And obviously, I mean, the SJHL wins record, it stands alone for itself. But at the end of the day, that's going to add up on a guy. I mean, that does take a lot, and you're playing a lot of these back-to-backs on Tuesday, Wednesday night. And it's a lot of travel in that, like going to LaRange, now you're going to Flint Flon. It's not easy on a guy like Race Ramsey. If he can stay consistent like he has been, I think Humboldt's got probably the better chance at this. But I don't know. It's going to be a really, really tight series. Both teams play really fast and really heavy. Both teams have defense that like to throw the body around but also like to get involved in the offensive play very well as well. Obviously, they spread their offense around for both teams very well. Everybody seems to be contributing, even the guys who aren't playing every single night. So it's going to be a really, really interesting series. And even I'm not even sure what's going to happen out of this one, but right now this looks like, to me, the most even series we've seen so far in the playoffs and very well could be the best series of the playoffs this year.
Yeah, that's a great point. You always say that the second round of any playoffs in hockey is always the best round in terms of the most entertaining and the most exciting hockey. Because, you know, you weed out a few of the also-rans, the Cinderellas a little bit in the first round, and then you get a couple Titans who are not as banged up, as they will be later at this round. So they always say that this is going to be great. And boy, oh boy, like thinking before this, knowing Rory was going to annoy the crap out of me and say, you got to predict the series, Jamie. to predict this series, boy, oh boy. And you know, you mentioned, Nick, that it's on Race Ramsey, and Race was better, I think, at the business end of that LaRange Humboldt series. His numbers, you know, drastically improved. You know, the truth of the matter is really that this series is on Cal Schell, because the last two games in the series between Flin Flon and Battleford, especially when Flin Flon finally got a bounce in a road game, because like it felt like forever, even going into the playoffs, that Flin Flon did not get any bounces on the road anywhere. It was pretty bizarre. But Cal Schell finally, you know, and the team finally found a way to find a win on the road there in Battleford's, and that was kind of the series. But you know, the Flin Flon power play hasn't been clicking like it was. You know, they're in the regular season only at 12% going to the series. You know, that's gonna have to be better. But really, it's on, you know, a lot on Cal Schell. I think, again, this with just predicting, you know, these two rosters, that I think to a man felt like Flin Flon has a better roster than the way that they played in the first round. Humboldt will probably feel like they have a better roster than they played in the first round. So maybe two teams that have had great years with a little bit of chips on their shoulders. I don't know if you see it that way, Rory.
I see goaltending being a huge factor in this game. I think you ask both goaltenders, they're the first ones to say, I need to be better. They got through the first round in six games, right? They're in the second round of the playoffs, but Ramsey's an .899 save percentage and Schell's a .901. Although I know they always say your penalty killer, your best penalty killer needs to be your goaltender. These two teams have not been good on the kill. No. It's simple. They haven't been good on the kill. If they've been good on the penalty kill, your goaltender's numbers are probably now at a .918, right around there. Now we're not talking about goaltenders. They've both been spectacular. The penalty kill is the glaring issue for both these teams. It was number one for the Broncos. It's now dropped all the way to seventh at 69.4%. Props to LaRange for doing what they did, because they scored 11 power play goals throughout the series. They only had 19 goals in total. So I think only six. I think only six of those goals were even strength, because he had a shorthanded one and an empty net goal. So, like, even strength, Ramsey was Ramsey. He was the same way. But the penalty kill was an issue. Mm-hmm. Flin Flon on the other side, they're at 73.7. Their power play is at 12. Mike Reagan's not going to like the special teams for Flin Flon. Scott Barney definitely doesn't like the penalty kill. The power play is at 32.3, so he's okay mm-hmm. with that. But I'm interested to see if that does shore up, if it turns into now a goaltending battle, if yeah. like power plays don't overweigh something.
And on that, on the special teams battle here, one thing that could really be a factor in that is how little penalties Flin Flon takes. They're very disciplined.
They've taken the fewest.
Yeah. And almost half as much as what Humboldt has so far through that first round. And these are two teams that, it doesn't matter if they're struggling right now, even if their special teams aren't doing well and their power play's not clicking right now, eventually they're going to. These are two teams that it's just a dam that's waiting to overflow eventually. And Flin Flon, they've got a great power play. I mean, Connor McGrath hasn't scored a goal yet in this first round of the playoffs. You know, and which is crazy to think, because he's got 8 points so far in the playoffs yet. But for a guy like him, especially with that man advantage, he's going to break out at some point. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of guys on Flin Flon on that power play. They're strong enough to break out as well, too. So, I don't know. The special teams battle, it's going to be kind of who can get it under the reins first, I think, especially on the power play. And if Humboldt gives Flin Flon too many chances on that man advantage, that's where they're going to run into danger.
Well, I think it'll be the special teams battle is certainly fascinating. These two teams had completely different series in the way they were reffed. The Battleford's Flin Flon series, the whistles were put away, right away. So, yeah, the numbers don't look good for Flin Flon, but there was such a small sample size. The Humboldt LaRange, there was always a power play going on for somebody. So, you know, whether they put the whistles away, again, these teams who can't control that, it's on the refs. But, again, that'll be an interesting factor. And I think, you know, the way that these teams are constructed, you know, I think the more the refs put the whistles away, the better it is for Humboldt. You talked about, you know, Race Ramsey being, you know, better 5-on-5 for sure than he was shorthanded. Well, tell you what, Cole Vardy has had a playoff series to you know, load up that rifle that he has from the point that I'm sure Mike Reagan's drilling that flin-flon power play to the nth degree here, getting ready for this series. And you better be willing, Humboldt PK guys, to block some shots, because they're going to come at you hard in this series. And the less that Cole Vardy has that opportunity to unleash that one-timer, or Xavier Lapointe, you know, the better that Humboldt has a chance in this one.
It's funny. It's funny you say that, because watching the PK and like what's going on here? Like, why is it struggling so much against LaRange? Well, you had big 6'5", 230-pound Conrad Mitchell in front of the net. Then you had Mikkelin Couture and Liam McInnes at the point. Right, a lot of the shots were coming from the point. Well, it's like, all right, they got through that. Maybe they'll have more luck in the second. Well, now you have big 6'4", 215-pound Drew Kuzma in front of the net, and Cole Vardy and Xavier Lapointe. Like, it's the same thing. So if you're Mike Reagan, you're looking at this power play, like, we could do that. We could do that.
Yeah, and so you know better than me, Rory, that Scott Barney is saying, you know, Connor Kasperi, you know, Rhett Gibson, you know, guys like that, Landon Stromey, like, if you're going to be in the lineup, you are not taking those boneheaded extra penalties. Like, you are skating away from piles. You know, the less there's power play penalty kill in this series, I'm telling you right now, it's Humboldt to win. If it's the same as it was Humboldt and LaRange, then Humboldt's in trouble.
And yeah, one thing to give Humboldt a little bit of props here too, because I feel like we've been talking up flin flon a lot here. One thing that with Humboldt here is that they're going to force Flin Flon's defense to not be involved in the offense quite as much, because that offensive threat that so many guys on Humboldt have is just so prevalent. You know, they've got so much speed. I'm looking down the list, like Connor McGrath, Alex Morozov, Jersey Orchard, Cage Newins. These guys all have shots that come off the stick so quickly and out of nowhere. You need your guys for Flin Flon to get back and make sure that the angle is taken away from those guys getting into the slot or anything like that. Because honestly, for a lot of those guys, like I said, Connor McGrath doesn't have a goal yet. He's going to break out at some point. And those guys, they can change a game so quickly. You need your defense to sit back a little bit more, I think, compared to even against Estevan. I don't know if they come as hard offensively as Humboldt does. You got to watch them. That's the big thing for Flin Flon, I think, is staying smart defensively.
Yeah, incredibly astute point. The one, and for Humboldt too, the way they come after you wears you down, not only after a season, throughout a game. It's why they never relinquish second goal lead, because the way they wear down defenses and oppositions is, I think, second to none in this league. However, on the side of Flin Flon, just based off what this schedule I think is going to look like in this series, it's 1-2 in Humboldt Friday, Saturday. And, of course, obviously, you know, our thoughts on April 6th belong to the 2017-2018 Humboldt Broncos. There's no SJHL hockey being played on April 6th, as there never should be, right? But the Broncos aren't going to go and stay 4 days up in Flin Flon. So it's actually – my understanding is it's going to be Friday, Saturday in Humboldt for games 1 and 2, then Friday, Saturday for games 3 and 4. So it kind of takes that advantage away from Humboldt wearing down an opponent if they're playing Tuesday, Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like, so Flin Flon's going to get a little bit of a break there, which then leads into my second point. They haven't lost a playoff game in the Whitney Forum in their last 5 or 6 playoff games. So Humboldt needs to protect their home ice, because they're going into the most difficult building to win in the playoffs.
And another level, Nick, before, just cut you off quickly, just a quick point. Before you talk about, you know, the wearing down element too, the Flin Flon Bombers, I think, and I don't know this 100%, but I'm pretty sure that Jeremy Tremblay, the D1 commit to Sacred Heart, and Cole Dupereau, who missed a lot of that first round, if not all of it, Flin Flon are coming back, all of it. So, you know, the Flin Flon depth is coming back too. So you know, whoa, this is going to be fun. Oh, it's going to be fun.
and just going back to the point to the Whitney Forum, that is, I think, especially in the playoffs, a much bigger advantage than anywhere else. I mean, that atmosphere is insane. If you've seen any of the video on social media coming out of there, there's a reason they call it the zoo. It's an absolute animal house. It's crazy. And not only that, but on the ice, it creates a bit of a unique situation too, because the way the ice is shaped is a little bit different than the other rinks. If you ever take a look at it, the corners behind the net, they go in a little bit sharper. So there's a little bit more corner play, it feels like, in the Whitney Forum, which means translates over to more physical play in the corners. And I think that suits Flin Flon's defense well. They practice in that rink every single day. Like you said, if they're going to have that full week off between games 2 and 3, you have a fresh team at the Whitney Forum versus another team who's getting off the bus and getting ready to play in the Whitney Forum. And that's going to make a difference, especially in game 3 and if and when things go to a game 6. It's going to be difficult coming into the Whitney Forum on those two games specifically, and depending on how game 3 goes, it could be even more difficult going into game 4. So
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to change your mind, but when the Broncos do go into Flin-Flon, they'll be going the day before. So okay. They won't be going the day of the game. Yeah.
That absolutely does change it a little bit, but still, yeah. You're sitting around a hotel.
Absolutely.
Right? So it still makes a big difference. And that in the mindset and how you feel going into the game compared to, you know, showing up and getting ready to go right away on a 2-hour drive from Estevan to Yorkton. It's going to make a difference.
No doubt.
I guess.
The EPA is also going to be bananas too. Like, talk about two communities in this series that just adore their teams, and both teams are just going to have incredible home atmospheres in this series. It's going to be bananas. I think it's going to be bananas in all 4, but like, these are two pretty special ones in the SG.
All right, prediction time. Nuxie's favorite part of the show. Nuxie, you can start then.
I'm going to go Humboldt in 7 because game 7 will be at the EPA, and that's why I'm going Humboldt in 7.
Nick?
Rory, go ahead. I want to break the tie possibly.
there's no tie. I'm taking Humboldt. I think every game is going to be decided less than 2 goals. If it's 2 goals, it's an empty netter. But I'm actually going to take Humboldt 5. I just think they're the deeper forward, and everywhere on the ice, I think they're deeper. So I'm going to pick Humboldt 5.
Everywhere on the ice, they're deeper. I don't know about defense, if I'm honest. I think if anywhere, that is the closest these two teams are. My heart's telling me Humboldt's going to win this series in 7. I'm going to go on the record, though, with my prediction and say Flin Flon in 7, just to put a little bit of respect on him and how close the series is.
I like it. Oof. I like it.
It's going to be
very close.
Yeah, and I mean, round 2 is going to start this weekend. We already know how exciting round 1 is. And as Nuzi said, round 2 is often considered the best in any hockey playoff format, where you're getting 2 great series. Humboldt Broncos against the Flin Flon Bombers. It'll start at the Elder Peterson Arena in Humboldt. And Estevan Bruins, in Affinity Place, will host games 1 and 2 against the Yorkton Terriers. If you can, grab your tickets. If you can't, watch hockey TV, your local radio broadcast. Nick, thanks as always. I know you're starting a new venture in Weyburn, so congrats on that and best of luck. And we'll have you back on to predict the SJHL Finals. Nuxie, you'll be back on to predict it as much as well. I know not liking it as much, though.
Hey, Rory, I'm sure I speak for Nick, too. We're pretty jealous that you get to call some of these games. Enjoy it.
Thank you. And yes, it is my it'll be my first time in the second round of the playoffs here in the SJHL broadcasting with the Broncos. So I'm very excited. Yeah, thank you very much.
Not be happy about this, but I think Nolan and Estevan's invited me onto his call with them, too. So my first playoff round.
Nice. Well, that's been your SJHL playoff preview show. Again, Humboldt against Flin Flon, Estevan against Yorkton. Four teams remain for SJHL supremacy. We'll be back in a few weeks and break down the SJHL finals right here on SJ at Noon Playoff Edition. Sweet.